Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, episode 129. Today, it's just going to be Joe and me talking a little bit about travel and work and still staying consistent with your goals. Joe does this better than probably anybody else I've ever met. And I can't wait to get into how the heck he can manage being a CEO, a father, a husband, and still logging more miles, pull-ups, and push-ups than me last year. So, Joe, how are you today?
Oh, excellent. You know, it's one of those really interesting weeks, Don, in that regard. And, you know, as I think about the topic, and we'll certainly get into it, you know, I don't think the answer lies in like it all of a sudden happens. It is certainly something that's learned, practiced, and, you know, becomes part of who you are. And so then our probability of success gets higher rather than in the world of, you know, sort of like if you pull the rubber band too fast, right, it breaks. But if you pull it at the right speed, it gets to be pretty long. So that's been working so far.
That's amazing. Well, give us a little bit of the background on, you know, kind of what your role entails, how much travel it entails, and then like, so that's just going to kind of set the tone for just how busy you are. And then let's get into the training.
Yeah. And you know, this lifestyle that I've had has gone on for the better part of 25 years, where on average I travel about 200 days a year. So that's a lot if you do the math, you know, and that means that, you know, you're sleeping in a lot of hotel rooms or you're in airplanes and so on. You know, right now I'm CEO of OneUp Health. It's a health data management company, distributed office in Boston. I have a house in New York, a house in Denver. I sort of consider myself a gypsy of some sort. And, you know, so I bring my toothbrush everywhere I go and my sneakers everywhere I go. And, you know, I establish, after a lot of practice, you know, a set of rules that I live by with all of that. And so, you know, yeah, there are 24 hours in the day. They can either seem like a lot or a little, depending on what you're doing. And there seems to always be a lot of reasons why you can't rather than why you can. And so I always try and work on the why I can.
Yep.
Not what might get in the way. I'm very much like, if something happens, then do something about it, but don't create sort of a fear of what, oh, my flight might be late. I might not make it in time. I won't be able to get in my run. Well, that could happen. Like that could.
Yep.
But there's no reason to, you know, sort of dwell on that. And
Go on. I want to go back before you get too far. And you mentioned you're kind of having a set of rules that you live by. And rules are very interesting because basically they're your own personal standards, right? That you live by, and they become so ingrained in us that they just become really non-negotiable and you just don't think about it. So, tell us what are your basic rules when it comes to staying healthy and traveling and managing all of this stuff?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I always think there are three activities that almost everyone does every day. We sleep, we eat, and we brush our teeth. And I often wonder how we convinced everyone that brushing your teeth was the third most important thing to do. Because it might be that exercise could be more valuable to your life than brushing your teeth if you were to do it every day. But we'd never have equated those two. But certainly some marketer did a very good job of convincing us of that. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't brush our teeth every day, but I'm saying like if we could create that habit, for sure, we can create other habits. And so like back to this sort of like, okay, if those were the three where we start from, what else would you add to that mix that are somewhat non-negotiable? And now going on just about 20 years, exercise has been one of those. And then, you know, the other part is to trying to create this sort of full human. I like to also add in some kind of creative pursuit, and that's writing. So it forces me to think, it forces me to do, it forces me to live. All of these pieces together are what I do. So I do those five activities every day. I sleep, I eat, I brush my teeth, I write, and I exercise every day. And those are sort of just who I am. It doesn't have to be of massive impact, you know, like you could run easy or just take a walk if that's what you wanted. You could just write some notes to yourself. It's just the processes that you develop. And then what happens, I found, is that the system responds very well, and it actually looks forward to these activities. So part of it's that. The other part that, if you break those down, how do you continue to do this at a high level? I sometimes put less variability in my life. Like, for example, food. I almost eat the same thing every day. You know, I don't grow tired of the same breakfast, you know, and sometimes it changes. Like, you know, for 5 years, I ate a dozen egg whites every morning, you know, 5 years in a row. And then I changed that to eating, you know, Greek yogurt every morning for 10 years. But what happens is that predictability, my system adjusts and it works very well. You know, Don was chuckling a little because I eat this brand cereal now for the past 20 years, 1/3 of a cup of Kellogg's All Brand. It looks like pellets or cat food or something. It's the highest, as I've found, the highest fiber per calorie, and most of it is insoluble fiber. But boy, if I have 1/3 of a cup, it's literally nothing that I can carry around in a baggie with me and have everywhere I go. It sort of just balances everything out. Like, my system gets so used to it. So, you know, for 15 years, I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day for lunch. And all of it became predictable and I adapted very well. And then without so much variability, like, there was really this one sort of really, I mean, some of them will all remember, but, you know, you go the night before something big, a hike, a race, a something, and you eat something different. Like, oh, I had chili. And the next day you're really in trouble because your system wasn't ready for it. So yeah, it helps me on every level because I know it well. And, you know, everyone says, well, I would get bored like eating it. I mean, like who wouldn't want to eat pizza every day for 5 years? I'm like, I would love to do that, you know, whatever it is. And that really helps because the less I'm thinking, if it's a good habit, you know, Don, we both know that I gave up drinking alcohol 15 years ago, you know, so what do I drink mostly every day is coffee or water, you know, and maybe I'll have a juice here and there. But all of that helps every other bit come together because the less I'm thinking about it, the more it happens.
I think that's so you just hit the nail on the head is basically thinking about your day as you have a finite number of decisions that you can make at full brain power throughout the day. Like, maybe where are the areas that we can optimize and we can minimize? And I was first tuned into this from actually Mark Zuckerberg, like Berg, whatever his last name is, Facebook founder. He was taking some flack in the media like 10 years ago because he was wearing the same t-shirt every day.
Yeah.
And he's like, look, I have to make so many decisions that impact so many people. The least important of which is what color shirt I'm going to wear every day. If I can save that like 0.1% of bandwidth for a more important decision, I'm going to do it. So I think there's something to be said about finding that routine, finding that thing that, you know, it checks the box of it's healthy for me, it's productive for me, and it's predictable. And then allow your brain to make the decisions that like are more higher level, like they're difficult to make, not what t-shirt you're going to wear, what cereal you're going to put in your yogurt.
Yeah, I think the other thing, Don, and this is one that I think is very hard for people, but if you want to endure, you have to find joy in repetition. Mm-hmm. And so, like, back to my peanut butter and jelly thing, like, for 15 years, I was so excited every day to have that for lunch. I was like, oh my God, I get to have peanut butter and jelly sandwich. This is like the coolest thing ever. Where everyone else would be like, oh, gosh, I have to eat that again. Because if you can't fall in love with repetition, you can't actually change habits because you would then just avoid it. And then the habits are good habits are hard sometimes, but then magic happens because you have this foundation upon which you can build. And I think that's the challenge to everyone is can you do that? Like, who's in charge anyway? I like this agency word, right? Like, I have agency over myself, right? I should be able to think about that. Like, I'm deciding, why wouldn't I like that every day?
Right. I eat peanut butter and jelly probably 2 to 3 days a week for lunch. because it's just easy. I don't have to think about it. I'm back-to-back meetings for work, and it just allows me to go up, make something, have some fruit with it, have a couple of vegetables with it, and come back to work. And there's no thought process into that. So it's really nice. And it's a food I've eaten my whole life. I eat them when I run.
Right.
So I appreciate that you had, 15,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in your life.
And if you wanted to run every day, then, some of the days are going to feel like repetition, but you could also just sort of turn it into like, oh my gosh, I get to run. I think that a lot of the success, so there's multiple elements of the success. One is sort of making, deciding what it is it's going to be, which are your habits. Number two, sort of, falling in love with them. The number three part of what my own success has been is I don't like to let myself down. Yeah. I find that to be, the word disappointment is a really tough word. Like if Don said to me, Joe, you disappointed me, I would want to cry.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's the worst thing to say to someone, because like, I let you down. I could have done it, I didn't. Because you can explain, like if I can't make, a run, I tell him he's fine. If he's, but you disappointed me because you didn't call me. I'm like, oh man, you're right.
Yeah, I think so disappointment, there's like a love and an emotion behind disappointment that I can mm-hmm. be angry at somebody I've never met, but I can't be disappointed yep. at them. But that's right. Like I would much rather make anybody angry than disappoint them. So I'm right there with you, because there is like, you have to have some kind of a bond with a person to feel like there's a disappointment to reach that level.
And then you should have that with yourself.
Yeah, well, that's obviously.
Right? But I think we let ourselves down a lot. Mm-hmm. I think that we don't follow through on what we said, how we think. We sort of come up with another reason. We work that, left shoulder saying yes, on the right shoulder saying no. Like, who's in charge, really? And so so I've gotten to the point where I'm making the commitment to me first. If I make the commitment to me, I can make the commitment to you. I can make the commitment to the world. But when I make it to me, then I take it very personally. And, most of what we do is anonymous. No one knows. Like what we're saying, Don, most of this has no visibility to the world.
Yep.
And then the question is, okay, if it doesn't, then what's your level of integrity to your commitments? And if your level of integrity is low to your commitments, then what do you think about yourself?
Yep. Yeah, I keep thinking about, as you talk more and more, I keep thinking about, there's a really famous story with Jimmy Carter in an Admiral interview or something like that. And they flat out asked him, did you do your best? And he got up and left. And I might be getting this a little bit wrong on this story, but basically he knew he didn't do his best and he knew he couldn't lie in that interview and say yes. And he didn't have an answer as to why. And so this is where like, there's a really cool principle of Stoic philosophy is, right? It's like, all we have to do is do our best and just be honest with yourself. Did you do your best or did you not? And that's something that I think about daily, weekly, yearly is, did I give my best? And if not, why? And so for you, it sounds like, with your traveling, sometimes your best is, just managing to get to the bed at night. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like it doesn't have to be like 10 miles every single day, 100 pushups, 100 pull-ups. That might be the optimum, but that might not be the best on any given day. So just, for me, it's going back to the standards of, did I give my best? If not, what was the root cause and how can I address it tomorrow?
Yeah, I agree with that. And so then that commitment to oneself and really actually looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, did you let yourself down? How do you feel about that? And then what would you want to do about it differently the next time? So that's another part of it. The parts that you don't control, we both like the Stoic philosophy mindset, which is worry about what you can control, not what you can't control. Why are you getting mad about things you can't control? In travel, if you worry all the time about those things you can't control, like you're never going to be able to do this. Yeah. Like you have to sort of live with, okay, that flight might be late. It might not be getting in on time, And so I have gotten to the point where I just let whatever happens happen and I optimize it to my, like if there's something I could control, like they cancel a flight, I will immediately act on that. I will then figure out, could I rent a car? Could I take another plane? You know, what should I do? I don't become a victim. I don't get mad at the circumstance. I just sort of accept it and move on with what is happening at that moment. If you had made a plan to go for your run when your flight landed after your red eye and you're in late, then you just decide, okay, well, then I'm going to do that at night, you know, like when no one else needs to talk to me. And if that's important, then that's what you do. And so you just keep adjusting on the moment of what I can control versus what I can't control. And getting at peace with that makes it a lot better, you know, because everyone gets so angry at the circumstance, using up all that energy. And I just sort of try to like say, yeah, okay, well, this is the way it is. And I knew getting into this travel life that that would happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a good part of succeeding with travel. Yeah. We can talk a little bit more, but I'll stop.
No, I'm curious to like dig into the areas that you feel you can control when it comes to travel and training. So the things I think about that I'd love to hear your tips or tricks or advice is, you know, looking at maybe what the hotel gym offering looks like, picking a hotel that's near a greenway or a trail system. What do you, when you go through this process of traveling so much, do you consider these things? Do you have other tips or tricks to take advantage of a known situation?
Definitely. One is look at the weather before you get on the airplane.
That's great, right? Who knows if it's going to be pouring rain and 30 degrees and you didn't have your rain jacket.
Right. I mean, but that's like a really simple thing, like, you know, and then, so that's the beginning, right? So start there, because if you're going to do something outside, you want to be prepared. Number two, yes, definitely. If you need a backup, check out the gym and find out, you know, people are happy. Just call up. You know, something's not on the website, say, hey, do you have how many treadmills? What are the hours of the gym? I mean, look, I've asked people to open up. Would you open up earlier? You open at 6. Can I go in at 5? And they're almost always very calm. Oh, sure you can. That's just a general guideline, you know. So that is, the gym is the second thing. You know, I keep the room part of it relatively simple. You know, I'm always just looking for quiet and clean, nothing too fancy, you know, so that I can adjust accordingly. You know, enough room on the floor to do some push-ups or some in-room exercise is always good. So I think the more that you know about what you're getting into, and I tend to go to the same places over and over, but if I'm going to a new place, I do what you just said, which is look for what look like safe running routes. And then the last thing is, when you get there, ask the hotel, what would you recommend? Because they almost always have a recommendation. Usually, the front desk people don't do a lot of this, but they will know where you can go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, nowadays, I think I would just make sure, don't ever run without your phone. Even if you're not listening to music, just for safety, for the Google Maps, just bring it with you in your pocket. Make sure you have a big enough pocket. But it's a really, like, we made a wrong turn. I didn't know where I was. I could find it out really easily, get back. Or if there was an emergency, I could call. Because sometimes you say, oh, I don't want to listen to anything. And so you'll leave the phone in the room. Safety-wise, I think that you should always have. Oh, and then the other thing, Don, reflective gear. Please, everyone, bring something reflective with you. You know, a little band around your ankle is better than nothing, weighs nothing. Be sure that people can see you, even if you're on the sidewalk, like it's, or in a trail. It's always good, because the reflective thing is really amazing what it does.
Yep. Yeah, I actually, for that purpose, I actually always travel with a headlight. Even if the schedule looks perfect for me to run at noon every day in perfect weather, like, you just don't know sometimes of, hey, this thing popped up and the only time I can run today is 4 a.m. So I it's probably the lightest thing I travel with everywhere. And why not just throw it in the bag? And then even if it's dirt light out, it flashes, to your point. Like if I'm running on a roadway that I'm not familiar with, I'm going to have it on anyway. It's just a flashing light just for that safety. So those are, I think the safety elements are really important one is, especially if you're, I mean, most people are traveling for work or traveling alone. So you're going to train alone. Yep. You don't have a group, bring your phone, be reflective, wear a headlight, be predictable. Don't just jump out into traffic, right? Make it back to your hotel room. I think those are pretty good safety tips.
Know where you're going, be aware of that.
Yeah. And Strava has heat maps now, which I really like when I travel. So you can actually pull up the heat maps of where other people are running in this area. And so like I've used that tool to help pick out hotels before as well, to say like, oh, okay, well, this hotel, there's really no running activity near here versus this hotel has really dark heat map. So using resources that we have now with GPS data to be able to help pick out where you might go, could allow you to run somewhere that's popular and safe, but also could be a little bit more populated. So you're going to be safer naturally anyways.
Yeah, I think, you know, of course, we talk about running, but, you know, it could be going for a walk as well. You know, probably not bringing your bicycle, but you can get outside. I think that we also should, I don't know, be excited about where we're going. Hey, I get to see new stuff. I get to learn. I get to explore. I want to always have a good attitude. You said, oh, maybe I'll run at 4 o'clock. Everyone would be like, oh, well, you know, I want to get my sleep. You could also just say, well, you know, this is a way for me to have a richer experience where I am. And to, I think the framing is really important, and being excited about the possibilities of what you get to do. And, you know, don't make it into a burden. Like this is, if this is what you're doing, then make it into like, oh, wow, I'm going to go there. Look at what I can figure out, find out, experience, and enjoy.
Yep. Yep. I love that. And I think it's just, it's important. And this goes back to kind of what I said is your best might just be walking out, heading, like walking across the street for 10 minutes and coming back, and like, just do what you can, but enjoy it. Don't feel like you have to force something every single day. Because at the end of the day, if you're traveling for work and you have family and you have all this stuff going on, sometimes training, working out, walking might not be the top of your list. So figuring out what's realistic is important. As you were talking about hotels, I have this one little story to tell it. The one time I ever did ask a hotel, it was a Hilton in Austin, Texas. I asked them, hey, like, what, like, how do I get to the bike path from here? It, they have a bunch of tunnels and stuff, and I just didn't want to catch the wrong one. So I talked to the guy first thing in the morning. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning, went out. I came back at 6:30. He saw me come in. He walked into the back room, grabbed a bottle of water, came out and said, like, handed me a bottle of water and asked me how my run was. So it's just like these, like, people at hotels genuinely want to interact with their guests and think it's cool what we're doing. So yeah, get recommendations. That was just one of the most amazing customer service experience I've ever had as a runner, that he saw me coming back from my run and just handed me a bottle of water.
That's fun.
So no, you just never know. Nice. And they might cue you into something that you wouldn't find otherwise.
Yeah. And then like this week, I took the red eye from Denver to Boston. I landed sort of just about on time. I went over to the hotel a little early, but they let me check in. And I was able to then, like, I had a half hour. I'm like, oh, I could just go jump on the treadmill and then take a shower. And I did that. And it was like so fun and exciting. I was like, oh, wow, look at this, how I fit this in. And, you know, they helped me out by giving me the room. So that was exciting and just made it into, you know, I was in control. And so that was fun. So I went through the workday. It was busy, crazy. The next morning, it was raining a little. This is done. You and I stayed there. And I went out running and it was drizzling a little, but not bad. And there was a guy walking on the sidewalk and I went around him and I didn't notice I was running into a very deep puddle. I'm like, okay, well, my shoes are going to be wet. And so they got pretty wet, you know, like as wet as you could be. And then like 6 minutes later, deluge, and it starts to rain. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to be wet. I'm going to enjoy this. And, you know, and I just sort of chuckle at that moment. You're like, all right, you know, so you're wet. Like, you're going to be back in the hotel very shortly. And you
is this harming my life right now? No. Yeah. I mean, it's good. To that point, it made me think about, I've stayed at a few hotels in the past 6 months that actually have the gear checkout. I know the Omni in Boston that I stayed at back in December is a partnership with Noble. And if you forget your workout clothes or if you forget your running shoes, they'll actually loan you stuff, new stuff, good stuff. Direct from. So don't, if that's a challenge to people, just don't be afraid to ask. Sometimes they might have a resource for you to work out in. I know Joe sometimes forgets something and has to run down to a Lululemon and buy overpriced shorts. But
that's right. I did that after the day though, because I forgot my shorts, which I really never do forget. And in the morning when I woke up, I'm like, well, I guess either I run in my jeans or I don't go. So I went and ran in my jeans. And and then that night I went to Lululemon and bought a pair of shorts for the next day. But, you know, you just, you know, to your point there, Don, you just laugh and like make it just part of the joy of living, you know, like instead of being frustrated and annoyed, just laugh at yourself and say, okay, don't forget your shorts next time. But why don't you just make it into something comical? Go out for a jog in your jeans and like, what's the big deal? Like, I just think that we sometimes frame the wrong side. I don't like why we frame that negatively rather than, you know, hey, come on.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's both fun and hilarious and inspiring that you didn't let that moment keep you in the hotel room and say, well, you know, not my day.
Right.
I also wish I would have been driving by at that time to see this tall gangly dude running down the street in blue jeans. But I have the mental images of what that might look like.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and so I think, you know, to the whole sort of thing about the travel, it is when it's about when we talked about like trying to take some control over the system by understanding what you're getting yourself into. To sort of be able to respond to changing conditions the way that they happen. Number three, sort of just enjoy that you're out there. And, you know, I think that when we were little kids, like we would get excited about stuff like, oh my God, look at that. And I can play with it. Bring back that sort of childish enthusiasm for life. And then travel becomes less of a burden. Don't worry about the things you can't control. You know, make sure you respond quickly to the situations, you know, and just appreciate that this is what you get to do. And, you know, I put all that together and actually all of it makes it more fun. You know, you might have tried some new food. You got to explore the outside. You saw a new city. You ended up doing something different. You feel. And so for me, it's always just all of that together doesn't turn it into a burden. I don't worry about what I left behind. I worry about what I'm doing. And I'll be back to it soon enough. And then you go out again. And then little by little, it becomes sort of who you are and your resiliency is higher. You know, your ability to do more is higher and you just enjoy your life that much better.
All right. I'm gonna shift gears on a question here a little bit with you. One of the things that I know I sometimes struggle with when I have tons of meetings going on, tons of deliverables at work, that even if I carve out time to go run, like my mind is not in that run. Like I am, all I'm focused on the whole time out is like, oh my gosh, like, am I getting a Slack message? And I find that it's just not quality. Do you experience that? And two, like, how have you allowed yourself to just disconnect, or what ways have you found work best for you disconnect while you are traveling and working, but still making time for yourself?
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. You know, there are some times where whatever is going on is hard to turn off. But the repetition of the running and sort of the meditative state of some sort that you can get into does allow for a little bit of displacement from the moment. Even if you're still thinking about it, it's a benefit because it's not like, you know, you're really scratching your arm. It's just like you're touching it. You know, it's a lot easier touch. The second is I try to, in those moments when I keep thinking about something, is try and just focus on what's outside and around you. If you're outside or if it's on the treadmill, like focus on something else and it starts to pull you away a little bit from it. Like if you did happen to get on a trail, look at the trees, look at the rocks, look at this. And just little by little, it pulls you away just for the period of time that you're out there. I do think that even if you focused on 100%, the getting your heart beating, the blood flowing will actually just sort of dispense of some of the cortisol that's built up, the stress that's in your system, and you will feel better by having gone for a walk or a run or anything outside. That we know both that the fresh air is good for us, you know, the stale ale of inside never really serves us. So I do think that it back to like, don't get frustrated. If that's all you thought about, that's all you thought about. Just, it's okay. You know, like we don't have to have a goal to be perfect in it, but so the goal is just to do this because it is going to have an accretive value to you. And even if you're going slowly and thinking about work, it's still better than sitting at a desk And so you've gotten 20% benefit, maybe not 80%. And some of the other techniques could help.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have non-negotiable times that you've blocked off on your calendar to run? Or are you more of just like, let the calendar fill up and I'll work it in when I work it in?
No, I think a lot of people don't want to try to make the morning happen, but I do think that's the easiest.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I would get up at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, you know. Then I realized if I wanted to do something, I just started moving the day earlier. Then I got to 6:30, then to 6, then to 5:30, then to 5, and then to 4:30. And you just sort of like, oh, you know, that's not so bad. So I think no one wants to talk to you at 5 in the morning. So that's your time. Like, you know, even if you got up and just did some stretching and relaxing, that'd be great. It is probably the easiest time to own.
Yeah.
Sometime before 7 a.m. is really what I use. And I find if I don't use that time, then I do sometimes, I'm challenged the rest of the day to figure out when to fit it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. I get it. Everyone wants to sleep more. I understand all of that. But I do think then you can go to bed a little bit earlier because, again, that's sort of your time. And you can get up a little earlier and you will be able to benefit from it. And you don't get in the way of anything, whether you have little kids, you have work or anything else. Literally, I always say to people, no one's going to talk to me at 5 in the morning. So that's mine.
Yeah, I love that. I totally agree. It's amazing how if you don't get something done in the morning, it almost becomes more mentally stressful the later the day goes on. Like, especially a big thing for me, speed work. Like going out on a really hard run, I will get more out of that run if I do it in the morning, because if I don't do it in the morning, I'm going to sit around and think about it all day and dread it, because sometimes speed work can get really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just think about it and I don't get the most out of the run because I'm mentally exhausted from stressing out about it. So it's also easier just to wake up and do the thing because you have no time to think about it. Your brain isn't fully awake. Just lay your clothes out, lay your stuff out, put it on, get out the door, and you're going to be a mile or two into your walk or jog or bike before you even really wake up. Mm-hmm. So one barrier removed.
Yeah, I think the other thing that, you know, I don't know exactly who he is, but we've probably many of us have seen this YouTube video of an admiral presenting at a commencement. And he says, you know, make your bed, start with a win.
Yep.
And I don't think there's ever been a day that if I got out and exercised in the morning that I didn't have a win that day.
Yeah.
And so it's okay. Doesn't matter in a way what happens the rest of the day. And I mean, I could end up sad, of course, if something bad happened, but I always have at least one win and like you're on the plus side. And so when you start on the plus side, life is way better than if you don't.
Yeah, absolutely. You check that first box off and it feels really good to check things off of your to-do list. Arena of that, I always think about, I don't know where the quote came from. It was a Wim Hof something, but if you start your day with a cold shower, you already did the hardest thing you'll do all day.
That's right.
It's like, it doesn't get any harder than waking up to a ice water shower or an ice plunge or something like that. And it's like, you already mentally got over that hurdle and that challenge and were successful. So again, boom, there's your second win of the day. You made your bed, you did an ice shower. You could check two things off and it really should only get easier from there.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, Don, you know, just because we're probably both of us, we're talking at the end of being somewhat expert in this, you know, what was it like in the beginning? And so what I did in the beginning was my goal was to do something one day a week, very little, but to try to import the discipline at least. Okay, I'm making a commitment one day, I'm going to run a mile, then you do 10 pushups. Like that seemed reasonable.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you added more. And then the next year, literally the next year, I'm like, oh, I wonder if I could do 3 days. And then next year, oh, could I do 5 days? Like I might have literally took a long time, but I kept on asking myself, I wonder if I could do a little more. And so the system built nicely on it. It was never this massive sort of like, you know, all of a sudden Joe and Don are becoming Navy SEALs, you know, like in a day, you know.
Yeah.
No, we got lots of time, people. Like, you know, you got the next 20 or 30 years to get this right. Start now with modest expectations. Let the foundation build over time, these new habits, this new way of thinking. And then little by little, you'll be like, oh, I wonder if I could use more of my capacity. And you start to do that, and then it becomes more natural. So But in the beginning, we fully understand that it's not a lot, and that's fine.
Yeah.
That's where we all start.
We all start somewhere. I think that's a really, probably a really important place for us to wrap today up on, is just, you know, knowing where you're at, and I guess knowing where you want to be, and knowing that that road to get there could be long and winding, but it starts somewhere. So think about what that thing is. It doesn't have to be working out at all. It could be, I don't know, you've always dreamed of being a painter. Like, just buy a canvas tomorrow, and then next week buy some paint. Just start somewhere. And I think that's really good advice to leave everybody on.
Yeah. And, you know, accountability models are great. You know, if you need someone to just send us a message, we'll talk to you about it. We'll help out, you know, or a friend, or tell someone you're going to do something. Maybe you'll feel a little bit more committed to it. So look, enjoy it. This is, you know, our lives. Let's really, you know, get more out of it. This has been for us, you know, the journey. We look forward to the journey ahead. That's why we call it Chasing Tomorrow. And we hope that you join us in Chasing Tomorrow.
Talk to you all next week. Thanks for listening.